Well, the difference with last year was that whilst we were very much on the threshold of what we call El Niño values for the key climate indicators that we look at, both the ocean and the atmosphere, we never quite got there. Now, some meteorological agencies elsewhere in the world actually declared an El Niño last year, but we've got to remember that El Niño is a global phenomenon, and for certain parts of the world, they may in fact have been in El Niño conditions and they were prepared to call it. It didn't meet the criteria for us, and the key thing was that the oceans, and or the Pacific Ocean in particular, and the atmospheric conditions didn't couple, they didn't lock in together. When they do that, it reinforces an event. Despite the fact that we didn't have an El Niño, we didn't actually get there last year, we have experienced in many parts of eastern Australia, particularly central and western Queensland and northwest New South Wales, conditions we would associate with an El Niño event. Now, this year, the consensus of all global climate models that the Bureau looks at is absolutely unequivocal. The values that are being projected by the climate models are that we are going to be in a sustained major El Niño event over the next 5 to 6 months. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we will have very much below average rainfall, much hotter temperatures and drought-like conditions, but the odds of that happening are much, much greater. So within the Bureau, we feel much more certain this year that there will be no doubt about the strength of this event, but no two El Niño events are the same. So whilst we have very strong sense that this will be a major El Niño event, it may not necessarily play out the way that statistically we might expect that it will. And we'll just keep monitoring it, and we're updating our monitoring of the major climate drivers on a fortnightly basis that we actually publish publicly, but it's daily and hourly, so we are watching this very closely.
So how crucial is it that landholders, producers and farmers are keeping up to date with that information coming through from you?
Well, I think it's very important because, and I'm sure this isn't lost on anyone who has to make management decisions around agricultural production. Climate and weather are one of the major impacts on productivity and profitability. I think people would already be well aware of the circumstances that many areas of eastern Australia are experiencing, particularly in the cattle industry, grazing. The conditions have been so poor in many areas for so long. With cropping, I think the story there is that we, in many areas of New South Wales, we had very much above average rainfall in April. And obviously that's when most of the winter cereal crops are sown. We can't be so certain that we're going to get more good rain to follow that up throughout the cropping season. Now, it may not be so crucial over the next few months through winter, but coming into the spring, I think that's when it's really going to be important. So I think people are going to need to be monitoring the situation closely and thinking about risk management for the following season and out to the going into the warmer weather in spring and summer.
You have a tough job. Is it hard bringing that news to farmers over the last few years?
Well, I think most of my colleagues would actually think that being on the land and trying to manage these conditions is the tough job. Sure, we don't get any pleasure out of telling people what is in many ways not good news, but we think that the better informed people are and the earlier they're informed, the better position they'll be in to be able to make their own critical decisions.